Devil in the Deep.
Hello, and welcome to this week's Devil in the Detail podcast. I'm Rob Parkinson, and I'm here talking all things. So for Devil's joining me show this week, as ever, we've got Paul Whiteside sporting his new hairdo, ready for his trip to London at weekend.
Do you know what? I've not had my hair cut. You said that to me before, when we was off air, and I thought, I've not had it done. I'm going to have it done this week. Mm. I've just had a quick wash when I got home, so I've just literally just washed it. So I'm going to have it cut this week if I get a chance. So, no, it's not a new... I fooled you, though, didn't I?
Yeah, it is.
I'm also quite smart, then.
I thought he's put the effort in tonight, hasn't he, with his, for the video podcast, washing his hair.
No, just had a quick sink wash when I got home. Quick wash in the kitchen sink.
Just be glad you got some hair to wash, like me. It's not...
I'm still doing all right on the old hair front, but no. That's about the only thing I'm doing all right.
No, my forehead starts in one postcode and ends in another. So it's not great.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Yeah. It's your birthday as well this week, isn't it?
Birthday too. Yeah, this week. Obviously 42. Clocking through the years now. But you know, you're only as young as you feel. That make me about 56.
1982 was a good year, Rob, wasn't it?
It was.
I'm an 82 as well, like you.
Yeah. Yeah. Only the best people were born in 82, Paul. That's what they say. So
plenty happened. Well, I think Salford were pretty rubbish in 1982, weren't they?
You say that, but I was just looking before, because obviously we'll talk about Paul Rowley being named Coach of the Month of May. And in 1982 and 1983, we had two coaches in that period that were on 60% win ratio. So we did pretty well. In that, I don't, not got my stats, but were me. So I don't really know how we went on in 82, 83, league-wise. But
I know we beat Swinton when I was born. Mm. I think we beat Swinton on Boxing Day when I was born. I know they hammered us in the May, when around about the time when you were born. I think they beat us 40. That was a 45-3 game, weren't they? Battered us, didn't they, 82? Mm. But I'm sure we beat them when I was born in December 82. So yeah, but we weren't at our best then. We was a bit of a yo-yo club then. We went down a couple of times, didn't we, and come back up again and what have you. So yeah, we're a lot better now, I think.
Oh yeah, Malcolm Aspey or Alan McInnes.
Yeah.
So they were two coaches during that period. So obviously we'll talk about that later on. So we'll look back at the Castleford defeat. Our ladies recorded their first championship win of the season, beating Bradford. So we'll talk about that. We've got all the big news coming out of the club this week. Our wheelchair team in the Challenge Trophy battling away there. And then we'll look forward to the London Broncos game on Saturday. So we'll start with Castleford Tigers and the away defeat for Salford Devils.
You're listening to Devil in the Detail, and this is your big match review.
So Salford Devils suffered away defeat. Castleford Tigers won 36 points to 24. Paul, obviously we were going there confident after the victory against Lee the week before. Obviously, potential banana skin, and we slipped.
Yeah, it was a funny game, really, wasn't it? It was a game of, like, not two halves, but a game of, like, quarters, wasn't it? Where I thought we dominated the other doors, didn't we, and got a good lead, and then sort of chucked it away. We had a man simbing, Namir Burrow went off, and that brought them back into the game, that didn't it? And I thought we kept inviting them in. Yeah, credit to them, they were desperate, and they scored some good tries, didn't they? But I thought our defence let us down a little bit at times on the edges. And I don't know, I thought we made every weather of it. I didn't think Cass were that good. And then when you look at the way they went on the cup this weekend, they got absolutely battered off Wigan, didn't they? So are they that good? No, I don't think they are. I think we let ourselves down, and we could get up kicking ourselves with that defeat. I thought it was poor. It was a poor performance, wasn't it, really? And we played well in patches, looked good on attack at times, but defence, they'd not scored that many points all season, and they scored six tries against us, I think, didn't they? So yeah, we got what we deserved, didn't we, and got beat.
Four tries by Inns Senior as well on the edges. Obviously, like you said, our edge defence was all over the show, but they did play for that attacking our edges, making us sort of as wide as possible. And we weren't able to deal with that, unfortunately, on such a sort of a tiny field of Weldon Road. Usually people talk about how short it is, but the width is quite wide compared to what it is long. So I think Castleford used that to their advantage against us. We just weren't able to squeeze that defensive line enough to keep them out.
No, that's it. Well, they train on that every day, don't they? So they'll know every inch of that pitch, won't they? Danny Richardson, I thought he played pretty well in that game. He kicked well, and Senior, as you said, got four. He scored four tries, yeah. Didn't he? And he had a good game. He's a good winger, him. I think he's a twin, isn't he? His brother's a good player as well. They're both tall lads, aren't they? 6'5", and I think the centre he had with him, was it Hall, a lad he had in the centre with him? Mm. They were both big lads, and they I thought they made it difficult for Nofaluma and MacDonald. I thought they ran rings round him all night, and you know, she had the measure of him really. So they came back well in that game. Like I said, the big turning point for me, he was Amir Burra going off, because they scored points then, didn't they? I was off, and we had a try disallowed, didn't we? I think with Kay Cust, and then they went down the other end and scored, didn't they? So that was a real pivotal point in the game. But I think it's a game we should have won. I think we had enough in that game. I think we had enough on attack to win the game. But if you don't defend and you don't do your defensive work and you're as frail as we were in defence, you're not going to win any game, are you? So I think that's what let us down, edge defence. And I thought they bust us up the middle quite a bit as well when that Brad Martin went through. Some of the tackling, it was you're not going to win a game tackling like that.
No, defence was poor, obviously. Paul Rowley knew that. We were sat near him, weren't we, in the stand, and he wasn't very happy, has to be said. But obviously they've had a week to think about it, haven't they? So work on it, that defensive structure and all that. So we'll have to wait and see. Just quickly run through it. Mark Snead opened the scoring with a penalty kick. Salford scored with a try from Ryan Briley. Lovely bait by Dion Cross. Briley in support. Salford 8-0 up.
Yeah, they were 8-0 up and in control as well, weren't they? There was only one side in it. Castleford didn't look anything to me, really. And you got 8-0 in front. You thought, right, great, we're in charge of this now. And then Burra gets him in, your backs are against the wall. You can see the couple of tries. There you get the tail. Rugby League's about confidence, isn't it? And especially when you've got a side like Cass who are desperate. Well, they've not won all season. They really are desperate. You give them a bit of a leg up and a bit of a sniff. The crowd gets the tails up. The team get the tails up. And that sort of wave of momentum can bring you home, can't it? Especially at a place like Weldon Road. I mean, how many times have we been there, played against them when they've been in poor form? And they sort of get that bit of momentum going, don't they? And it sort of brings them home, doesn't it? So you're going to get the same scenario this Saturday at London. They're seven defeats. If you give them a sniff, that momentum and that sort of enthusiasm that they've got, that could work against you. So that's what happened with Cass. I think the Burra Simbin was a needless, sort of another ill-disciplined sort of thing to give away, really. A needless penalty.
Yeah. Before that, in Senior scored his first try, 50-metre break, brushed off three Salford tacklers to score, made it 6-8. Like you said, Amir Burra was put in the bin for a dangerous throw. Sam Hall scored for Cass as we were down to 12 men, dived over by the post to make it 12-8 Cass. And then in Senior got his second build-up, and Miller and Horn created space for him to score, and we were 18-8 down at that point.
Yeah, that Horn, I think he was on the bench, wasn't he? Come on, and he was really direct at dummy half. I thought he sort of really pepped Castleford up when he came on. As I said before, Hall and Senior on that side were really good, weren't they, all night? They've got a real good partnership, them two big lads, and very, very powerful as well. Senior's quick. He really is quick. You give him a sniff and he's away, isn't he? So yeah, they were back in the game there, and the momentum of the game started to change, didn't it? I think our heads sort of went a bit there, and we lost discipline. We were giving penalties away. We were making mistakes as well. Knock-ons and missing far too many tackles. And you could see them growing in confidence, and they were starting to offload the ball as well, weren't they? Chucking the ball all over the show. For a side that was really low on confidence, they just seemed to grow arms and legs, didn't they?
They did. But just before half-time, Salford struck back. Tim Laffey tried. Good work from Joe Shorrocks and Mark Snead. And Ryan Briley sent him over in the corner. Half-time trailed 18-14.
Yeah, and I thought to myself when we got that try, yeah, we're back in it now. And I can see us really storming back in the second half, because we look like we were going to score every time we had the ball. Tim Lafay was really, really dangerous. One criticism with Lafay I've got is he doesn't always seem to look for his winger. There's times when he can offload and he sort of just goes on his own, doesn't he? And he's dead elusive. He's dead hard to tackle. His upper body strength's amazing. But sometimes I think if you can just look for that pass, it might be a better option. But no, that try we got there right on the break, I thought really put us in good stead then. And the start of the second half, those two tries that we got, I thought we're quids in it. We're going to win this game. But yet again, we let Cass back in.
Yeah. Like you said, second half started. Lovely try by Niamh McDonald. Lovely assist by Kay Cust. Sent the Salford centre away. Raced 50 metres to score. We're in front 8-2018 then.
Yeah, it was a good try as well, that McDonald. I mean, I didn't know he was that quick, but he really showed some pace on that side. Skinned his winger, didn't he? And went flying down the touchline. And I thought to myself at the time, is he the fastest player on the books at Salford? Because I tell you what, he must be up there because he was really quick. He was lightning quick, wasn't he? And yeah, we were back in front then. And looking the better side, I thought, then for that sort of period.
Yep. And then 5 minutes later, Ryan Bradley got his second. Break by Joe Mellor. He offloaded to Joe Shorrocks, and Bradley was in support, and Salford led 24-18.
They did. If I remember right, my memory's not too good, but didn't Mark Snead miss that kick?
He did.
I think he did. So I remember thinking at the time, if he'd have kicked that, would have been 8 points in front again, two scores. It was a vital one to miss, I think, that, because it just kept Castleford in the game, didn't it? 6 points behind. And, you know, we all know what happened after that. But I think if he'd have kicked that, I think we probably would have gone on to win the game.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we had a try disallowed from Ryan Briley.
Yeah.
Kick to the kick in the air. Briley and their fullback went up for it. Ricocheted off on both. Cade Cuss catched it, dived over. Referee went to the video referee, decided it was knock on Salford and gave the possession to Castleford. And like you say, crucial moment in the game there. If Cuss scores there, pushes us clear. But like you say, it went up as, did it go up as no try? So it's pretty hard to overturn it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I've mentioned that loads of times in here about that on-field decision thing and all that. I think it's a silly rule because they never really get overturned, did they? There's a bit of a doubt there. But I don't know. I'm not too sure what that got disallowed for, to be honest, unless it was a knock-on and the build-up. It looked all right to me. It looked like he picked the pocket of the cast defender and got the ball. So, yeah, if that try had been given, we'd have been 12 points in front there, wouldn't we? And it's probably game over. But like we said before, the 12-point turnaround, because Cass went down the other end and scored, didn't he, on the next play. So, and I think that got him level again at 24-24, didn't it? And it was just end-to-end stuff then, wasn't it?
Yeah. In senior got his hat-trick. Brad Martin scored shortly after, running through the Salford line, evading three tackles. Took over to make it 30-24 to Cass. Richardson kicked a penalty to edge him ever away. And then, unfortunately, Senior's scored his fourth and put the game to bed.
Yeah, well, he had a good game, that Senior. There's no doubt about that. He finished really, really well. And I think they deserved it, Rob. I don't think you can have any complaints. I thought they were the better side for the majority of the game, particularly in the second half, that last sort of 20 minutes, half an hour. And for large parts of the first half, it was a game of spells. I thought we bossed the first 20 minutes. They bossed it. We bossed the first 10, 15 minutes of the second half. And then they bossed the last half an hour of the game. So I don't think you can argue with it. I don't think you can blame the referee. I think we've just got to tighten things up. And we got beaten by a more enthusiastic side on the night. And the worrying thing for me is we've played two away games at Ulkerhane and Cass, and we've not been that good. We got lamped at Ulkerhane in the Cup and leaked 40 points. And then we've leaked 30 odd in that game as well. So if I was Paul, I'd be a bit worried about that defence. We need to tighten that defence up. And because London this week are going to be enthusiastic. They're going to throw the ball around. And that defence needs to be better than what it's been.
Yeah, I think I spoke to Ryan Briley after the game and he said we were too easy to score against. Like you say, they've had a week off, haven't they, to organise it. I think, like you say, with the way Rowley Ball is and the way they defend, they like to compress the middle, don't they, to protect the middles and reduce space. But because Casper's pitch is quite wide, Cass want to stretch us. So that was a problem in finding gaps and a lot of the criticism for our edge defence. But the wingers have to come in, don't they, to reduce the space. So if you've got a decent halfback who can read the winger coming in, he'll just ping one over the top and they've got space to run into.
Yeah, I get that. But I watched the video back, and if you look at some of the tackling, it was poor technique, a lot of it. You were grabbing at the Cast players. And it's got to be better. That contact's got to be better, hasn't it? So you can have an off day, can't you? And Cast player, well, give them credit. But I think sometimes you try and find excuses and that, and you've just got to hold your hands up and say, we're beaten and we've got to be better. And if we want to make that top six, they're the sort of games you've got to win. I mean, it's no good going to St. Helens and winning and then going and getting beat at Castle, because you get the same 2 points, don't you, for either of them. So that this weekend against London is pivotal now. I think you've reached a point in the season where we need to win, because we've got some tough games coming up after that. So, yeah, you can have a blip. And we've had a week off now to sort of work on things and whatever. But this week, I think we really need to make amends for it.
Yeah, looking at the stats, team stats, Castleford completed at 90%. We completed at 72%. Meters made for Castleford, 1,202. We made 1,222. Carries 101 for Cass, 150 for us. Tackle bursts for them, 43. Tackle bursts for us, 38. Errors for them, 7. Errors for us, 10. Missed tackles for them, 38. Missed tackles for us, 43.
You're not going to win a game missing 43 tackles, are you? That's a lot of tackling to be missed, that. So I don't know what we blame that on. I think you just need to work a bit harder there in your defence, because defence is what wins you the games. Defence is what gets you to playoffs, isn't it? In cup finals and things like that. Yeah, we can score tries and we can talk about rolling ball all we want, but you've got to do the basics right. You've got to defend in rugby league to win matches and, you know, concede. I think if you concede more than 18 points, you're on a downer, aren't you? But letting 30-odd points, and you're not going to win any game, are you? So that's got to be better. That defence has got to be better. And I thought we'd learn that lesson after OKR, because, you know, 40 points to nil is poor. So yeah, we need to work on that. We can't afford to let London score 20 or 30 points this weekend. So missed tackles, he's got that goal line defence has got to be tougher and better than that.
Yeah, looking at the personal stats, top meet makers, Ryan Briley with 129, Neil McDonnell 129, Tim Laffey 189, Dion Cross 108, Callum Watkins 98, Joe Shorrocks 89, and David Nofaluma 118.
Yeah, they're not bad stats then for the outside backs. You know, you'd expect them to get that. But we made quite a few clean breaks in that game, didn't we? So we had chances and probably should have posted more points than what we did when we were on top. But there was, like we were saying before, there was a few key factors in the game. I think the sin bin in was a big one, and the K Cus disallowed try was a big one as well. I'm not blaming it on that, but the game probably hinged on that, and with our poor defence as well. But there did get some good performances in there from certain players, and there was some performances in there that weren't good enough. There's a few players that always a bit of a performance, I think.
Yeah. Top tacklers, K Cus 19, Marks Need 21, King V 24, Sam Stone 31, Callum Watkins 38, Oliver Partington 27, and Joe Mellor 21.
Yeah, some. I wasn't expecting that many tackles there. We're saying we missed 43, but there's some good numbers there from the players who've been putting them in. So if they had missed 43, they'd have been in sky high then. But yeah, there was some hard working performances, there's no doubt about that. I don't know, it was just one of them nights really, wasn't it, where I think we got a bit frustrated. We lacked a lot of composure as well at times, and I'm sure we could sort that out.
Yeah, average gains, Neil McDonald 13, Tim Laffey 10, Amir Borough 9, Joe Shorrocks 13.
Yeah, the 13's good. Two lads on 13 there, and that just shows you fighting the tackles there and making, yeah, that's a lot of yards to make after contact, isn't it? So they're pretty good stats. I mean, I don't need McDonald's, a difficult man to put down, isn't it? Like Tim Laffey as well, we've said about him before, he's so elusive and difficult to tackle. I thought Cass were finding him so hard to deal with on last Friday. He had a really good game. Like I said, just like to see him bring his winger in a bit more. And I think that's one of the conundrums we've got this week. Paul Rowley's going to have to look at that and decide who his best two wingers are, because you've got three or four players vying for the two wing spaces, haven't you? Ethan Mayne didn't play against Cass. David Nofaluma came in. So it'll be interesting to see which two he goes with.
Got a lot of criticism, didn't he, online, Nofaluma. I don't think he deserved it. I thought he was good, made tons of metres. But like you say, it's that defensive pattern where Cass are trying to make the pitch wide, we're trying to make the pitch small. And if he's not reading the play, he'll get caught out. So we'll have to, like you say, see what Paul Rowley says. But like you say, it's not just Nofaluma. You could say Ethan Ryan did it the week before. Ken Seale did it a lot. So it's not just the player. It's the system that they're playing.
Well, Cass made a lot of Well, scored a lot of tries down the edge, didn't they? And we got caught out, Matt Donald and Nafalim, we got caught out on the edge. I mean, I don't know what their missed tackle stats were, but I'd say that Wood and Senior got the better of them. They really did get the better of them. So them two have got to improve. And you're entitled to criticise, right? I mean, I didn't think Nafalim played that well. I didn't think he played that well against Wigan, but he's a new player. He's settling into the team. I think if I was Paul Rowley, I'd play him against London because I think you need to keep playing him. Because he needs to grow in confidence. He's a good player. He's got a good reputation. You can give him 6 to 8 games. If he's still not playing well, then you put someone else in and give someone else a go. That's what you have a squad for. But I wouldn't just chuck him out of the team straight away. If I was Rowley, I'd be saying, I want to see you do something this week and put faith in him and see what he comes up with. But yeah, I think he needs to grow in confidence. I think his confidence is a bit low at the moment. He's coming to a new side. And when he's not won with us yet, as he's lost in the two games that he's played. So yeah, he's not scored yet either. So yeah, give the guy a chance. But yeah, he needs to improve.
Yeah, so big thanks for your three-word man of the match reports. Graham Jones, running empty. Tim Laffey, Richard Martin, remember to tackle Laffey. Andy Lancashire, poor defence, Sneed. Andy Smith, paper-thin defence, Laffey. Anita, utterly dreadful defence, Tim Laffey. Stuart Smart, poor edge defence. Your mate Roy Ellaby, Tim Laffey, nothing more certain than we get beat by Cass after the great performance last week. But like you said, if you want to be a top six, top four team, you've got to back up the next performance with a win. And I think that's where we're at the moment. We've got to learn how to double up on that wins and go again with a similar performance.
Yeah, well, I saw a few people saying they were tired and this, that and the other. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if we want to finish in a top six and we want to be a top six side, you can't afford to be saying you're tired. You know, you play once a week, don't you? And that's the whole point of being in. You're either going for that top six or you're resigned to staying down there. So, I don't know, sometimes we play well and support say, oh, it's great, this is rollerball, this, and we're doing really well. And then we get beat and then people will come out and say, well, we've only got a small squad, so we've only got... And there'll be excuses there. So, I don't know, I think sometimes you've got to look at it without yourself with blinkers, and that's how I try and look at it anyway. And if you play, you don't play well, you don't play well, you've just got to hold your hands up. So, I think that's what we did, but we know and we've shown in the first start parts of the season that we are capable. I think if we beat London, we've got 10 points from the first 8 games, so 5 from 8. That's a good start. There's not many people out there who would have said Salford would have 5 wins out of the first 8 games. Oh, we've got to go and do it first, but that's a good solid start. So yeah, I'm still confident that we can push for that top six.
Mike, typical Salford onwards. Mark, defensive malfunction imploded. Laffey. Ben Wheeler, no defensive effort. Laffey. Colin Wilson, defence let down. Laffey. Paul Howe, learn to tackle. Laffey. Paul Gibbs chucked it away, and Stephen Doyle learned to defend Laffey. But yeah, I suppose, like you said, Castleford know their ground, don't they? And they played it better than we did. Obviously, they registered the first win. We just can't let that affect us going forward.
No, that's right. And the way modern day rugby league goes these days, it's all about momentum. And I think once a side gets that momentum and they get that pendulum swinging in their favour, they can be hard to stop. And particularly a side like Castleford, there's Salford side's better than the one we've got now that have been to Castleford and got beat over the years. I mean, it's a tough place to go. And I still think you've got to give them credit. I think they did well in that game and wanted it a bit more than us and had that bit of luck as well. And it's gone. That game's gone now. We've got to move on. There's no point keep moaning about it. That game's gone and it's all about this week now.
Yep. So let's move on to our wheelchair team. They were in action this weekend in the Challenge Trophy in Manchester. Unfortunately, didn't qualify for the knockout part of that tournament, but really put big efforts in. Spoke to one of the coaches, Dave Abel, and he was proud of his team's effort. You can listen to that on the pop-up podcast we released earlier in the week. Like we said before, Paul, they are a development team, still find out a play together. And obviously going in tournaments like this, in competitive matches, it will increase their development.
Yeah, it will do. Yeah, of course it will do. And the more you play and the more competition you get involved with, it will increase your development, increases your knowledge and your experience as well. And you're learning on the job, aren't you, all the time? That's what sport is all about. It's what life's all about. So yeah, the more they do, the more experience they're going to gain.
Yeah. So obviously looked into the fixtures and that and the results, and they were beaten by the eventual winners, Hereford. They also beaten by the finalists, Edinburgh, and they lost to Rochdale as well. So it's a bit of a group of death, really. When you think about it, you think, yeah, they were beaten, but if you're in a group where two of the four end up being in the final, it makes you wonder, like, they are competing against them two sides as well. So it will be interesting. I think Dave Abel said they've got a friendly coming up against Warrington in a few weeks. So that's another opportunity to see sort of where they are.
Yeah, well, if you're playing against two sides that have ended up in the final, you look at that and you're playing against good sides, aren't you? So mm-hmm. you're measuring yourselves against two good teams, aren't you? So when you've competed as well, you're only going to get better, aren't you? And, keep working hard, keep training, and you just, like I said before, you get experience from the more games you play, the more times you do things, don't you? So it's all sports like that. It's all repetitive, isn't it? Sport, and the more you do, look at Mark Sneemer's goal kicking. I mean, I was listening to one of the interviews Radio Manchester did with him, and I think it was last week, and he said it's all repetitive. It's all repetitive, going out, doing it time after time after time after time. And then it's like driving, isn't it? When you first start driving a car, when you do that, I was thinking about this the other day, you're doing that, like, sort of, when you're holding it on the gas, you think you're never going to be able to do it. And then, like, then you just do it all of a sudden, don't you? And just do it, like, by habit, sort of thing. And I think the same in sport, isn't it? Everything becomes a habit the more that you do it. I know I've gone off on a bit of a tangent there, but you can see what my point I'm trying to make is it becomes second nature too. I think Sneedy's been like, go. I think just playing the game will be like that.
Yeah. So, like you say, brave effort from our wheelchair team. And I'm sure they'll be looking for the next game to continue their development. Let's move on to our ladies. They recorded their first win in the championship this weekend, beating Bradford 44-4 on the community pitches. Two tries from Jen Myler, two tries from Alex Simpson, one from Sam Edmonds, one from Summer Harris, one for Marie Lee Kelly, and one for Michelle Davis. Demi Jones kicked six goals. Mike Grady celebrates his first win as Salford Devils ladies coach.
Yeah, a massive result, wasn't it? That particular after the Challenge Cup group games, and they were tough, weren't they? And probably a big learning curve as well. And to come back and win with that sort of scoreline, I thought that was just shows that the team's got a lot of character. To come back, it'd be easier to sort of soul, wouldn't it, and worry about things and that. But they not. They put the cup to bed and come back in, got their heads down and come up with a really good performance as well. Defence as well. Scored plenty of points, kicked plenty of goals and kept that solid defence. So that is a great result to build on now.
Yeah, Mike Grady in the Pop-Up Podcast made a real big thing about the team and the squad all working together to get this result. And like you said, three games in the Challenge Cup against Super League opposition, and it was obviously good to get back to winning ways against Bradford. I'll just run through the timeline. Summer Harris scored the opening try, burst the Bradford line, ran round the fullback, turned on the afterburners, and went over for the first try of the afternoon, which was a really, really good try. I know the club do try the month, so I think that should be a contender if I was picking it.
It sounds like it. It sounds like a try of the month contender, that. By you know, really, from what you describe, I've not seen it yet, but no, it sounds a belting try. Painted the picture there perfectly for me.
It was like, remember when Andy Cole used to play second row and he got into the open spaces? He just, as she sort of rounded the fullback, she just went up a gear and just burned her. And yeah, good try. I thought, yeah, that'll do. Alex Simpson scored next, interception from halfway line. She raced away to go under the posts, and Salford led 10-0.
Yeah, a good start, a good solid start. That's what you needed, and something to build on there, haven't you? You've got some points on the board, and you can build on the back of that then, can't you?
Yeah. Alex Simpson got a second try from 15 yards out. Demi Jones drawn the defence. Long pass and Alex Simpson caught it, rounded the defender and went over to score to make it 16-0. Bradford hit back though, went over in the corner, made it 16-4. But then just before half-time, lovely move by Salford going from left to right through Hans, Jones and Davis involved, sent Marie Lee Kelly over in the corner. Salford were in a good place.
Yeah, certainly. Was that all in the first half, that, Rob?
Yeah.
So we're still at half time. Yeah. Good, like I said before, a good lead to have that, and defending, keeping Bradford out as well. And you've got something to build on there, haven't you, and work on and work with. But no, sounds like they're playing some good stuff, moving the ball as well.
Yeah. Just after half time, Linda Regan got put in the bin. Mike Gray did an Arsene Wenger and said he didn't see it. So I'm going to say I didn't see it either, so we don't have to talk about it. But in that period, though, we were down to 12, but our defence stood firm. We still had the momentum in the game, and that's a good sign, that, because obviously when you're down a player, other teams ramp up, don't they? And it was good that we kept them, not going to say at bay, but we certainly kept our foot on their throat.
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? You know, you're down to 12, there's going to be gaps, isn't there? And you'd expect your opposition to move the ball and find that gap. But sometimes you've just got to work that little bit harder in defence, haven't you, and fill in for each other. And teams can do that sometimes. It galvanises teams, doesn't it?
So, you know, we're here to talk about the positives, I suppose. Like Amir Borough, you know, you live and learn, don't you, I suppose?
Yeah, well, the Amir Borough one, I didn't really think it was Amir Borough who caused that. I thought it was King Runny Iowa, because he's the big man.
Yeah.
So I thought Amir Borough sort of got caught in that tackle. But yeah, I think it's just occupational hazard, isn't it? Rugby league, sports, collisions and things like this happen, don't they?
You do. But when Salford got back to 13, Salford scored again. Sam Evans down through a gap to go over by the post to make it 24-4. And then Jem Myler scored for Salford on an edge, burst the Bradford line and crashed over it, and Salford were in control.
Yeah, certainly sounds like it by that time. What score was that? 30 points up then?
Mm-hmm.
The game's in the bag then. I think you can sort of relax a bit then, can't you, after the defeats that they've had to get that sort of score. I'm not saying put the cue on the rat, but you can start moving the ball a bit more, and you've got the points in the bag then, haven't you? Shackles come off a bit and you can sort of try things, and they come up with even more points then, didn't they?
Yeah. Michelle Davis, it was the next Salford try scorer. I think it was Demi Jones attacked the line and she was in support to crash over. But she did have a couple of opportunities in the first half when she ran sort of 90 metres, burst the Bradford line and got hauled down just before. So yeah, encouraging signs there. Paul, obviously one of our new players, showing some good signs.
Well, yeah, and his confidence as well. That scoring points and winning as well as he did like that is going to build the confidence, because confidence has took a... It takes its toll, doesn't it, getting beat? And they've had some big defeats in the cup as well, didn't they? And that can be... You can play on your mind a bit, can't it? So that's going to do the ladies the world of good, getting a result like that and scoring some good tries as well. It puts smiles on faces, and then you can start building that momentum then now. So they've got a tough game this week away from home. Is it away from home this week?
Stanley
this week, aren't they? So that's a tough place to go, isn't it? And they had a few games with them last season, didn't they? And a few close ones as well. So that'll be another tough one.
Yeah. Salford completed the scoring. Jem Myler got a second. Bit like a first, really, running on an edge, burst the line, and Bradford couldn't keep her out. So Demi Jones kicked 6 goals as well. Obviously, we know all about sort of Demi's accuracy, turning 4 into 6. So good to see she got 6 goals.
Yeah, and that, like I said, that goal kicking is a vital part of rugby league, isn't it? We talked about this last week with Mark Steve, weren't they? Going up in sixes and that. I think sometimes it's overlooked, goal kicking in rugby league. Take it for granted, don't we? But if you've got a kicker, a reliable kicker, and someone who can convert their fours into sixes, you're going in the right direction, aren't you? And yes, you've got to chase that record now. I know Sneedy missed, didn't he, against Castleford, so his run's come to an end, but I'm sure she can try and emulate Sneedy now and kick as many as she can on the trot.
Yeah, so no pressure. Obviously great result for Mike Grady's ladies. Like you say, they've had a few tough weeks, but this win against Bradford hopefully kicks them on in the next few weeks, and then we get, obviously we're in the championship now, aren't we? We're playing games thick and fast, so we'll be interested to see, like you say, big confidence win against Bradford, and the sky's the limit now.
Yeah, it certainly is, and you're playing sides in the championship that are at the same sort of level that you're at. I'm not being disrespectful to the ladies, but in the Super League, some of those sides, they had a bit of a level above sometimes, aren't they? Been playing the for a long time. Probably got a bit more resources, bigger squad than us as well. And it's difficult. It really is difficult. So, yeah, you're at that level now where you've got teams in the same league as you and you can have a really good crack at it now. So a good confidence-boosting win. And then a tough trip to Stanley, but there's no reason why they can't go and get a result there.
Well done, ladies. And we look forward to the game against Stanley. So that's all the reports for this week. Now we'll see what's happening in the world of Salford Devils. So we'll start, Paul, with the new shirt, the mashup shirt, which was released last week. A mishmash of different away shirts, slash home shirts, slash Magic Weekend shirts. What did you make of it?
Well, it sold out by the time I saw it. I've not been on my phone all day. I've been a bit busy, and then I didn't even know it was coming out, and then I saw it, and it said it'd been sold out. So, yeah, we were talking about it on the radio the other night, and bit like the old technical the dream coat, innit? Old like a patchwork quilt of shirts. And there's a few shirts in there that I can remember from a long time ago, from like the 90s and that, and they brought back some memories there. So yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
a bit good. I didn't get one, but good idea.
Yeah, I liked it. I think it looked a bit quirky. I think obviously collector's item now with 150 going in what, 2 hours?
Yeah.
So club will be buzzing. Just wonder if they'll have another run. Because obviously, people might want to get their hands on them.
Yeah, well, I know you're saying there's only 150 and it's like a collector's item, but if you've got another 150 people who want them and then another 150 people that want them after that, surely you've got to do them because the club needs the money, don't they? So it's supply and demand, isn't it? If people want them, get them made.
I think what the club should do is just let it settle and then, like, a week's time, just bang them out. Say, look, another 150, go. And then it might be causing a stampede again.
Yeah, I'll have to make sure I've got a day off for the next time they put them out. Or keep my eye on my phone and I'll look for them. But no, I think it's a good idea. It came out of the blue that I wasn't expecting that. So yeah, good idea. And yeah, like I said, I think for younger supporters as well, I'm not saying we're old men, but the younger supporters, younger generation, they're into stuff like that, aren't they, I suppose, and the collector's items and that. I mean, I was when I was sort of that age, so yeah, I think it's a good idea, and we're not going to wear this shirt. I mean, it's not. Is it the Magic Week? It's not one we're going to wear, is it? I don't think.
No. Just a mash-up mash-up one, by the look of it.
No, I was going to say, it'd probably be difficult wearing that, wouldn't it? I mean, but like United, when they played in that grey kit, you could claim all sorts of excuses when you get beat on that kick, couldn't you?
So yeah, so if you're one of the 150 people that got their hand on that shirt, lucky you, and we'll see what happens if they bring out another batch. We'll wait and see. Paul Rowley was voted Coach of the Month for March, obviously working his magic over the last few weeks. His win ratio at Salford at the moment is 49.3%, which shows how good he is. I think he's top of the list of coaches who have had a run as Salford coach. I mean, rather than Steve Sims, who had like four games, he was on a higher percentage, but played, but managed like three games, if that makes sense. So, yeah, and he's above Ian Watson as well. He is on 49.1.
Well, yeah, he's had a good run. I mean, if you think of the seasons that he's done now, when did he do? 22, 23, it's his third full season. So 22, we finished really well. And almost got to a grand final. E3, we finished seventh and just missed out on the playoffs. So, and this season we've started well. So, you know, Paul Rowley's had some good wins. He really has. He's followed on from the good work that Ian Watson did, really. I mean, Ian Watson turned us into a much more consistent side, didn't he? If you go back, had a bit of a blip in 2018, but 2016 weren't great. We were up. 17, we did well. 19, we had a great season. And he had that COVID season where we started really well and then it fell away. And then, obviously, Ian Watson left, Richard Marshall come in. And that season, again, was a bit hit and miss. I think it was a bit unfair on Richard because it was all behind closed doors, wasn't it? So when Paul Rowley come in, he's carried on that good work that Watto started. So I think over the last sort of 5 or 6 years, the club's made a lot of progress. I mean, we've said this before, haven't we, about the amount of games that we've gone into and won where we never used to win in them sort of grounds. I think Headingley is one. We've had a few good wins there now. We went Wigan, we went to St Helens. We've lamped all the way a few times, haven't we? So we've enjoyed some good days, haven't we? I mean, look at the playoff wins we've had. The Huddersfield game, we went back to that in 2022, going winning there 28-0, I think it was, wasn't it? So, no, we've punched above that. Without being disrespectful, I think we've punched above our weight, considering the sort of expenditure that we have on the squad and the size of our squad, I think we've got real value for money.
Yeah. Paul Rowley, 67 games, won 33, lost 34. Ian Watson, 165 games, won 81, lost 84. So it's getting there. Obviously, comparison, Ian Watson coached 100 games more. So obviously, if Paul Rowley can do similar kind of 2 or 3 years down the line, then it might be a clear at the top then.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Paul Rowley seems pretty settled at Salford, doesn't he? I know we every time a coach gets the bullet, we seem to have these rumours flying around that Paul Rowley is going to Hull, or he's going to Leeds, or he's doing this. I mean, why somebody would want to go to Hull, I'm not too sure, but not that it's an horrible place, like, but it's not somewhere I'd want to go working. But no, I think he seems happy at Salford, doesn't he? And he's got a good team around him, I think, with Kurt Agati as well. I think you've got to give Kurt a lot of credit, because I think he works really well with Paul. I think they're a good double act. They bounce well off each other. They have a good idea. The players seem to respect him on the training pitch. And I think Kurt does a lot of unsung work that people don't talk about as well. So Paul's a good tactician. I was reading a letter in the League Express today that was really sort of a credit to Paul, really, about his commentary last weekend. He was commentating the Saints and Catalan game on BBC. And I listened to that. I watched the second half, and the guy who wrote the letter into the League Express was really saying how interesting he was listening to him and his knowledge of the game. And he's a very, very good talker. A lot of knowledge for the sport. And he's a good guy, Paul Rowley. He's good. Likes you as well, doesn't he?
Loves me. Rowley,
he loves you. He does. He does in the press conference, doesn't he? He's a good bloke. I think he's all right. I think he's grown to like us after we've met him. But I think he's getting there, isn't he?
Yeah. The thing is, though, he's the first kind of... Normally, with Salford, we have assistant coaches who are learning to be a head coach. When he as a head coach, being a head coach. So he has sort of a different mentality for me than every other coach that we've dealt with. And, you know, it's been an experience. And, you know, he does like his press conferences. He likes to tell it how it is. And that's what it's all about. It gives us good content for listeners, which is fantastic, and great stuff. He keeps winning. He can say what he wants. It's all friendly fire from us, isn't it?
Yeah, he's very honest as well, Paul Rowley. He doesn't sort of come out and make excuses and go around the houses, because if you listen to a lot of coaches, particularly at Super League, when you're watching the Sky games and whatever, they all sort of say the same thing, don't they? And it's like a script sometimes. Mm. And I think Paul Rowley's a bit more of a, not a maverick, but I think he knows what he wants, and I won't say he's outspoken, but I think he's a bit more outspoken than certain coaches. I like the way he goes about things. I respect him. I think a lot of clubs respect him. And I think there's a lot of clubs out there, a lot of club chairmen out there who'd like Paul Rowley at their club. And I think we're lucky to have him. And I think he's doing a good job for us. We've done well, I think, with coaches over the last few years, haven't we? We've had some decent coaches. And that's what it's all about. It's about settling down and having that sort of continuity, isn't it? A lot of clubs sort of chop and change the coaches all the time and never seem to get anywhere, do they? And I think one thing at Salford is we do give coaches a chance, don't we? And I think Paul King and Blaise, they give Paul Rowley a good free rein, don't they? And I think he likes that. He's the boss, he's in charge. And I think that's a good thing, to let your coach sort of do the business.
That's why I think he'll never go to the likes of Hull or Warrington, because he's totally in charge here. He makes the decision. And that's what head coaches want. They want to be the guy who decides, rather than having to sort of liaise with other people above him or whatever for what he wants. He gets what he wants. And that's the good thing at Salford. So, great times. Congratulations on winning Coach of the Month for March. And we're looking for more success in the next month and years to come. Ladies Nines, Paul, has been announced. It's going to take place at Victoria Park, Warrington, on the 5th of May. 16 teams competing from the Championship and the Super League. Ladies are in the competition, which is great. Obviously, I think three tournaments they've played so far. First one, I think won 3 and lost 1 and didn't qualify. The second one was, I think they lost, 1-2, lost 1, but then the final was being held at the Salford Stadium, and we weren't picked as the wild card. You think that we'd been picked as the wild card to get a crowd on. So this time around, we haven't got the group stages yet. We don't know who's going to be in our group, but hopefully Mike Grady's ladies will get through to the final. Because I think, obviously, his style of play, the team style of play, suits Nines. I think they like to move the ball wide and like to move it quick. So Nines is all about that, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. It's a totally different concept, really, isn't it? It's a shame in a way that we don't see it in the men's, because I think a Nines or a Sevens tournament would be exciting. We never really sort of play that sort of concept, do we? So, no, I think that'll be good. It'll be a good festival of rugby league that to watch, and I'm sure it'll be exciting. And yeah, I think that sort of style of play will suit, and you might see some surprise scores there. And yeah, good luck to them in that. Should be good.
Yeah, the top six teams qualify for a finals event on the 27th of July, but they haven't announced where that is yet. So, exciting times. Get yourselves down there. If you can, free entry for all spectators, it says. So, hopefully a big crowd there. Moving on, Paul, free tickets. The club are giving away free tickets for unrepresented people in the local community. That's NHS workers, volunteers, charity workers. We talk about our club being a community club and engaging with the community, embracing everybody, and this is a good thing. Obviously, giving thanks to the people who work hard every day to protect, care for people in our great city and beyond.
Yeah, that's a nice touch. That's a nice touch by the club. It's funny, I was reading something today about, I think it was the Conservative Party's sort of leaflet that was going through the doors around Salford and what their candidate was going to do. And it was very nice to our club, actually. So it just shows that we do a lot of work in the community. And I think they need to read about that, the Conservative Party, because it wasn't a very nice thing that they said about us. So no, I think we do great work in the community. And I think we always have done. We've come up with these good initiatives. Like last season, there was a lot of days that we had the groundwork where we put events on, you had the blue light and things like that. I think we keep in real touch with the community, and the club do really well at that. And that's another good idea.
Yeah, for a bit of Billy balance, there is different parties to vote for in general elections and local elections that are coming up. Obviously, they're flyering people to try and get votes. So we'll see. Everyone votes for everyone who they want to vote for. Moving forward, Hanley's at the Club 13 breakfast event on the 26th of May. Obviously, a rugby league great. Club 13, great organisation there, bringing local businesses together. And it sounds like it's going to be a good day.
Because Dave Ellery Hanley's there. I mean, how good would that be to meet Ellery Hanley? He's someone I'd love to meet. I mean, growing up watching rugby league, probably the best player I've ever seen, to be honest with you. I can remember watching that try as a kid that he scored at Wembley, where played Halifax, I think, is it 88, and he's running sort of sideways to get away from, who was it now? Is it Gray Meade, the Halifax fullback? I might be wrong, it might not have been him, but it was a great try, and some of the other tries he scored in his career, and playing a great Britain and coaching great, what a player. And his lad's doing really well as well at Lee. Umar Hanley, he's playing really well. But yeah, Ellery Hanley, legend of the sport, so I'm sure if you can get down there to listen to Ellery. He's a very good talker, very eloquent and a real gentleman, isn't he?
Yeah. Final bit of news. The Reds Rise Together have a general meeting taking place on the 23rd of May. There is nominations going in to be a sort of director on the board. The cut-off is today, 16th of April. On the 17th of April, voting papers will be distributed to all members to vote for a director. That ends on the 10th of May. I think we should really do it like they do on the radio, where we have like a purdah, where we don't talk about it, to give everyone a fair chance of being on that board.
Well, you shouldn't have mentioned it then, should you?
No.
Should have kept quiet. I did see an email about that the other day, actually, but I've not really been following. I'll be honest, I've not really been following stuff like that. So no, we'll have to see how that pans out. I mean, it's gone a bit over my head, to be honest with you. I have enough to do with you and the radio and the podcast and other bits and bats, so I won't be applying for anything. I'll just keep turning up watching the team. That'll do me. But I'm sure people who are getting involved will do a good job. And it's a good initiative, isn't it? The club are making inroads, and people are volunteering to do things, and we have the supporters trust as well who do that. So I'm sure whoever gets involved in that will do a great job.
Yeah, I'll have to go ring the printers now and cancel that 5,000 volt Whiteside leaflet drop I've got organised.
My job takes up too much time, Rob, and the work I do for you. you do double what I do as well. So so me and you are too busy, aren't we?
Yeah, too busy for all that. Especially what the wife says. So you get involved in something else, and she gives me the big eye.
Oh,
it's like, well, I have to keep my nose clean when it comes to doing other activities.
We can just about get through with what we're doing, and can't we? I think it's just enough hours a week to do what we're doing. But yeah, it's all good.
Yeah. Talk about things we're doing on Saturday. We're on BBC Radio Manchester on the digital channel, commentating on the match. Exciting. Yeah. Obviously, going to London. You've done it a few times. I've done it once. Okay, out of way, lost. What's your win lose ratio like? Top of your head.
Well, we got beat at Cardiff. I did catch with Jack Dade in the last game. They haven't won many, actually. I did one with Trevor Hunt in London a few years ago when they won. I think that was 2019 when we got to the grand final that season. I remember winning there. I've done a few at Castleford, actually, when they played there. In fact, I did the cup game behind closed doors at Edinley a few years ago when we got beat in extra time. So, no, I don't think they've won many, actually, when I've done it. But I think for us two to do it together, I think that'll be great. I mean, I've done it with that Matt Newsome and a few other people, Trevor and Jack and that, but I think us two to do it, I think it'll be special to work with you. I think it'll be really, really good because we've worked together for a good number of years on here, haven't we? And it's very nice of the BBC to put faith in us and ask us. I think it just shows we must have been doing all right, and hopefully we won't let anybody down and people will listen to it. It's on the telly, but my message to the listeners would be put your telly on mute and listen to me and you on the BBC, and just hopefully it's in line with the telly because sometimes there's a bit of a delay, isn't there?
Mm. But yeah. Exciting times, very exciting. Yeah. Obviously, like you say, we'll send the links out on our socials because people sometimes say they can't find the link. So we'll get it. We'll send it on our socials, and we'll see what happens there. So that's all the news. And now we'll see what's occurring this weekend.
It's time for the Devil of the Details.
So, our ladies are in action away at Staddenley. Obviously, a good win last week against Bradford. Hopefully, can build on that.
Yeah, definitely. As we mentioned before, it's an opportunity now to build on that and get another good result, isn't it? So yeah, it'll be a tough place to go. As we've said, they've had some good battles with Staddenley last season, didn't they? So that'll be another difficult game. But no, I'm confident. You know, just going off the I didn't expect the ladies to win as handsomely as he did against Bradford. I was surprised by that. I was really surprised when I saw that score, and delighted for them as well. So yeah, I'm hoping they can build on that now, build some confidence and get 2 from 2. That'd be a great start.
Yeah, Staddenley beat Castleford 30-12, but then last week lost to Oulton, who had a good side, 30-12. So yeah, going to be interesting. Obviously, like you say, Mike Grady, team will be full of confidence after such a dominant performance against Bradford. Away from home, it's always difficult, especially going to Staddenley. So I'm sure the ladies will be up for that, and we'll see what happens there. Be exciting times. So for the Devils, like you say, are in action. The men's team, Paul Rowley's team, are away in London Saturday. We've talked about it being a potential banana skin after last week's defeat at Castleford. I think it's so important that we get back to winning ways. We can't lose to Cass and then lose to London and be sort of looking for a playoff spot, in my opinion.
No, it's pivotal. I think it's crossroads in the season, this, Rob. You lose this game and play Warrington at home next week. Warrington are cockeroop, aren't they? They've just got to cup semi-finals. They might have one eye on that. That could go in our favour, but that'll be a tough game. So I think we play Huddersfield soon as well. So we've got some difficult games coming up. So the London one's a big game. Big game for the confidence as well, I think. You know, if we went down there and got beat, I mean, you've lost to two sides then who've picked up the first win against you. So no, I'm expecting a tough game. I think from what I've seen of London this season, yeah, the defence is a bit iffy, but they won't die wondering. They'll try their best against you. They'll put an awful lot of effort in. They'll move the ball. And they're an entertaining team to watch. The thing with London is that they're behind the eight ball, aren't they? Because they've not got a massive squad. They came up from the Championship. I don't think they were expected to come up from the Championship. If you look back to last season, they went in that playoffs. Featherstone were the team, weren't they? And Toulouse. And London went away from home and beat the pair of them. and got promoted. It was a miracle, really, the way they got promoted. And then hats off to them for doing that. They've done that before, haven't they? I mean, if you remember a few years ago, they got promoted. They went and beat Toronto in Toronto, didn't they, in that trialist game. So London, I've just wrote about them in the preview this week, 44 years they've been going now down there. And they've created a lot of history, haven't they? They've changed the name a number of times. They've been a bit nomadic and moved to different stadiums. But I think they've always had that spirit down there and that never say die attitude. And they'll have that this Saturday. They'll be a very, very tough side to beat.
Yeah, a relatively unknown side come up from the Championship. Not really brought anybody in of high value or profile. Is it Haim Mikadoli, centre? One of the top try scorers for them, 3 tries. Robbie Story. So, yeah, you know, they aren't scoring loads of tries, but you don't expect them to be where they are at the bottom. You don't expect to score loads of tries.
Yeah, Hakan Maloudi, you mentioned there. French international Maloudi. I think he's played for about 12 different clubs, 11 different clubs, and his try record's pretty good. He's a very, very experienced player. And Alex Walker, the fullback as well, you remember, did spend a bit of time at Wakefield. He's a good support player. They've got Will Lovell, I think, forward. He's been in London for about 12 years, playing on and off for London Broncos and London Scholars. So they've got some lads who've been there a long time and have been involved in that institution a long time as well. So they've got some strike players and probably got a lot of unknown players as well, and players we don't really know a lot about. So that can be dangerous sometimes. And I think from what I can see, they've got a good team spirit down there. And yeah, they've took some beatings this season, but I think they'll be very, very enthusiastic. I think they'll go for it. They'll be targeting us because they'll think we're vulnerable. We got beat against Castleford, and they'll be looking at that game and thinking, yeah, how can we exploit Salford? And Castleford did it, so can we do the same thing? So we've got to be on our guard, especially on the edges. We've got to be better than we were against Castleford, because you know, London and the coaching staff are no mugs. They'll be looking at that and thinking, How can we get 2 points off Salford?
Prediction time, thoughts?
Ooh, I've not really thought, to be honest.
Every week you say this. It's not like we do this prediction thing, every week.
I back London on the accumulator, because Salford's got, minus 26 on the handicap, so we've got to win by 27 to win money on Salford. So I thought, I can't see us winning by 27, really. So, well, I could do, but no, it's a big start. So it just shows you we're massive favourites, aren't we, the bookies? So, and the bookies aren't normally wrong. They're normally roughly about right. So if you... I'd probably go with Salford. 36-10 to Salford then. There's a 26-point deficit.
36-10. Don't forget to bet responsibly.
Go on with the bookies.
Paul does. How's your accumulator going on, by the way? Are you any close to...
No, lost. Preston got beat 3-0. So I had 12 teams, goals galore, both teams to score. 11 of them scored, and Preston haven't. They got beat 3-0. So I'll be 50p. I've lost. I could have won £8 and I've lost. So never mind.
There's a message for our listeners. You know, 12 team accumulators don't normally come in. So bet responsibly.
They never do.
No. Talking about betting responsibly, I'm thinking we'll get back to winning ways at London. I think after last week's defeat at Castleford, players have had a week to think about it. Paul Rowley's had a week to talk to him about it. They're not going to put in another performance like they did at Castleford, I hope. They know how important it is to get into a sort of a playoff. So they can't afford to keep losing games where they should win. So I'm going to go London 8, Salford 30. Nofaluma hat trick.
What's that difference of 22? I think I'm hoping so, Robert. I can see it being close, but I don't know. I think we should have enough. We should be. The thing is with us, we can score points, can't we? We can create chances and score points. We've proved that every week. So my thing is, can London keep us out? I don't think they can. I think we'll score. The big thing is our defence. We've got to keep them out. We can't afford another basketball scoreline like we did at Castleford, because then anything can happen, can't it? We can't afford to give them a leg up. That's the thing. Because if we do, and they get a bit of momentum, we could have a bit of a hill to climb then. So we've got to be on. We've got to be professional. We've got to be disciplined. And if we are, I think we can win the game comfortably.
Yeah. So that's the end of this week's podcast, Paul. Another great show. talking all things Salford Red Devils. Don't forget, listeners, we are on BBC Radio Manchester on digital to commentate on the match. So if you've not got Sky, tune in and listen to me and Paul call the big big game on Saturday. Exciting, Paul.
Yeah, looking forward to it, mate. Yeah, it should be good. It's a ground I've not been to as well, Plough Lane. I believe, is it where FC Wimbledon play, the football team? Yeah, so I've never been there before, so it's another ground to sort of tick off on our sort of ground hopping chart. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's a bit of a journey down there, but it should be a good day. And yeah, we'll do our best on Radio Manchester and for Salford Radio as well, like we do. So it should be good.
Yeah, exciting times. Big thanks for joining us on this Devil in the Detail. I'm Baron Parkinson. You can find us on Facebook, Devil in the Detail SRD. You can find us on X at DITDSRD, and you can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes and Spotify. Good luck, Reds. We'll see you on the other side.